Guys, you know this is actually a philosophical debate. Because that was rude. I don't want to exist anymore. Because what's the point? Kadem, I don't want you on my podcast again. Hey guys, that's where I'm gonna start that again. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the things you can't Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the things you can't touch, a philosophy podcast where we touch on the deeper things of life. And today the guest I have with me is Kadem. You can absolutely introduce yourself.
All right, cool. So hey guys, my name's Kadem. I'm obviously studying law at work right now, and in terms of where I am in life right now, trying everything, trying to see what I'm interested in.
That's beautiful. Kadem, you don't know what question I'm about to ask you. The question I have for you is, does the universe speak to us? You can interpret it however you want.
All right, cool. Let's break down that question.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Does the universe speak to us? Mm-hmm. So, the universe, like, can I take it my own way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll take it as God, right? Does God speak to us in our lives?
Mm.
I think definitely. I think if you really look into your life and the way things happen,
mm-hmm.
You do get a lot of signs from God
mm-hmm.
in order to, you know, live a certain life or to go down a certain route. And it's just about being able to see it, because if you just live your life without actually, like, sitting down to reflect on things that happen, like, you're just not going to go anywhere. You're just going to carry on living and not actually see, you know, the blessings and the signs that God's given you through things that happen in your life. So
that's beautiful. The one thing that I got from what you said is that the universe to you is God.
Yeah.
So God is the universe. So therefore, through, like, God and his intentions, we can understand, like, what's being said to us.
Yeah,
I took it in different directions. I have two, like, in my head, I was thinking that the universe speaks to us in terms of, one, nature, and two, in terms of human interaction. So when I think of nature, I was thinking of things like, because I know you like the stars. So the stars, like the solar system, the way it's arranged, the way the world is, like, so perfectly designed, which is actually an argument for the existence of God, but we're not going to get into that too tough, because that's not the aim of this episode. But also stuff like karma, bad omens, and, like, superstitious, like, ideas. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, like, bro, it's actually really nuts. In terms of karma and superstition, yeah, obviously that's a big topic, but I just feel like if you really look at your life, right,
mm-hmm.
things happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess in order to make it more personable to me, you know, certain bad things that happened to me, obviously growing up, it's those sort of things that really knocked me into a path of finding God and
mm-hmm.
the path that I'm on now. You know, certain bad things that happened in childhood or in my teens, like, it was really a sign from God to say, hey, you know what I'm saying, God, mm-hmm. change your life now. And I feel like if that didn't happen, I really wouldn't know or be on the path that I am now. So it's more so just looking at, it's the way you look at things that happen in your life.
Yeah, I even do that sometimes. Like, when bad things happen to me, I just think, everything happens for a reason. And I'm just like, okay, cool, that's brushed now, because I have to overcome it, because everything happens for a reason and something's good is going to happen at the end. But I don't know, because God is supposed to have specific attributes, which one of which is benevolence. And it's like, does the universe have to make me go through bad things in order for me to live, like, a worthwhile life?
I mean, it comes from being humble and just knowing that God knows more than us. Like, we mm-hmm. can't say this is bad or this is good.
Yeah.
Because there's always, you know, some sort of wisdom behind something that God does.
That's true.
And it just comes from belief and understanding God. If you know he's all loving and benevolent, etc., etc., it's like
mm-hmm.
things that happen in your life, you take it as it is, because mm-hmm. you know there is a wisdom behind it that you do not understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, I guess for me personally, there's, like, certain dreams that maybe I had growing up that got blocked in some sort of way,
mm-hmm.
right? say I wanted to get into X University, right?
Yeah.
All right, you know exactly what we're talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know exactly what we're talking about here. So yeah. I wanted to get into X University. Obviously worked really hard to get through the interview stages.
And the universe said, Ed.
Yeah.
And we're fired. Don't worry, I understand.
Ed on results day, so
yeah.
It was like, oh, wow, okay, God doesn't want me to kind of get into this university. Mm-hmm. Damn. So then let me now not be grateful and just kind of be sad about it.
Yeah.
And not really wallow in your own sorrow. So in me getting, you know, blocked from that path to that university I wanted to go to, it's like, mm-hmm. being at this university here, with the people around me, it's like I've been able to really find myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been really able to have time to myself to kind of explore things that I love, things that I want to do in life, etc., mm-hmm. etc. So if I never got blocked into that path, I would be a completely different person. So, I wouldn't be as close to God as I am now.
Mm-hmm. That notion that everything happens for a reason, it resonates with you. Do you, like, you believe it's true?
100%.
Cool. That does lead onto some talk about determinism, but I'm going to bring my brain back and focus on the issue at hand, which is not that. But I'm going to go in order of my list in terms of nature. First of all, evil eye. I think evil eye is so real because once, like, for example, someone compliments you on your skin, suddenly the next day you have pimples. Why?
It comes from a religious understanding of these sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a real thing. I think that's why it's just so important to be very thoughtful of mm-hmm. who you're telling, you know, about your plans,
true.
Your dreams, etc., etc. Because mm-hmm. while someone can smile in your face when you tell them about something, it's like deep down in their heart, there's a lot of, you know what I'm saying, jealousy in it.
Yeah, and malice. And but like, I just, how does that translate? How does someone's thoughts, like, of badness that they put onto you actually, like, travel through the particles of the air and reach you and become a reality?
Yeah, that's one of the you know, things that we are incapable of understanding. It's something that's in the unseen realm. So it's something that God understands. And I think just in the way it happens, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think we all believe in that little something called, you know, the devil.
Yeah, that little something.
That little something. Yeah. It plays a big part in these sort of things. So I think those sort of thoughts and bad energy that you direct us all towards someone else, then kind of those evil forces that we obviously believe in begin to kind of mess up in that person's life.
Yeah, so things manifest, like they actually...
Yeah, they do.
You also said that there are some things that we're just not going to understand, but are you satisfied with that? As I asked you the question, how does it travel through the air and become reality? Just like something that someone's thinking, I want to know. Like, I want to know what...
You want to know. So,
like, how it happened.
You're asking me what... Like, am I satisfied with not knowing?
Yeah.
I guess that comes from self-reflection. And being humble, as I said before. Mm-hmm. I will keep repeating that so many times.
Yeah.
I look at myself. I know that I'm limited in my intellect.
Yeah,
I know I'm limited physically,
mm-hmm.
emotionally. The list goes on, right?
All of the illies.
You know what I'm saying? And going back to what we said about the stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
I look up and I see that those stars are much bigger than what we have as the sun, and that's the biggest thing in our lives.
You know?
Provides sunlight, etc., etc. So it's like those stars are much bigger than what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine how big the universe is.
Yeah.
I do not know anything. Like, what could be out there? We don't know.
I don't know.
But me being able to understand that I do not know that, it's like,
in
sort of things such as evil eye, I'm not disheartened by not knowing how it works, because I don't even know what's out there to start with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And within myself as well, like, it's crazy because I've lived with myself for X amount of years, but
mm-hmm.
I don't really know myself like that. And I'm still finding myself. So
yeah.
If I don't know everything about me, how am I now going to just jump ahead and try to understand about these sort of things that God plays a big part in?
That's a beautiful answer. And you talking about the stars actually brings me to my next point. Like, you know, like, star signs and astrology and things of that nature, yeah. Because it's like, it's part of the universe. But I don't, like, personally, I wouldn't say I necessarily believe in star signs. I find them interesting. And sometimes I think they are a representative of some people's character. But that might just be psychological. Like, that just might be me believing that it's true just because it's been presented to me. So in terms of, like, the zodiac signs specifically, and people being Capricorns, Libras, do you think that, like, we have found a point of contact with the universe to understand ourselves?
this, yeah, I'm probably gonna get a bit of people hating on me for this, but
okay.
I think me personally, like, if you assign a lot of characteristics to a certain type of star sign, right,
mm-hmm.
there's gonna be someone out there that is gonna align with that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it was right, it just mm-hmm. means by chance.
Yeah.
I aligned with this characteristic.
Yeah, that's
so
awful question.
It's a game of chance, and it's like, if you're someone who's an intellectual person and really religious, like, that's not the path you'd go down. Mm. And in terms of, like, secondly, in a religious point of view,
mm-hmm.
I think with these sort of things, it's like, you need to really understand, what do you think of God, and
yeah.
what do you think of his power and the way he determines things. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Me as a Muslim, right, I believe that God determines what happens in life. So his will is his will, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And things, superstitious things as though, such as the things that you were obviously naming in your response,
mm-hmm.
kind of assigning determinism in my life with these sort of things is kind of disacknowledging God's control and power over all things. So if you're going to, in your head, allow superstitious things that aren't God
mm-hmm.
to determine, to assign that determinism to what happens in your life, you're kind of, you know, disrespecting God.
Yeah.
In a way, so.
Yeah, but do you think that things happen by chance?
Cause I don't think anything happens by chance. Nothing ever happens
so
by chance.
So that means the people, like, talking about zodiac signs, not that they're 100% correct, but do you think that they're onto something? Like, somehow?
You tell me what... Okay, outline what a zodiac sign is and what's its purpose to me. So
as you've asked that question...
Yeah.
I don't have the capacity to do that because I don't know about zodiac signs, but I just... Yeah, so, okay, cool. I just know the general concept, which is that people born at a specific time, when the sun is at a specific height, when the moon is in a specific place, in a specific point in the year, have specific character attributes, and those different character attributes either conflict or coincide with other different attributes born at different times, at different points in the year.
But why is that important? Why does that even matter?
Maybe it's important because people just want to understand themselves and understand their place in the world, because it's like, there's me and then there's the universe, and it's like, how am I connected to it at all? And I think through zodiac signs, people are understanding their place in reality, and they're just trying to ground themselves in something that's real.
That's another thing. Obviously, I'll always go back to my religion.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of see, like, these sort of things as ways of people simplifying the world and the universe into mm-hmm. simple terms that they can understand.
Yeah, that's another issue with humans. We like to put everything in categories. We categorize everything. Yeah. Like, not everything has to fall into a box.
And, you know, from their point of view, it would be easier to kind of take this kind of superficial thing,
mm-hmm.
all zodiac signs, to kind of make sense of life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, but it's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. So we shouldn't take stars and interpret them in ways that we don't understand.
Yeah, it just comes from your understanding of God and who he is. So.
The next one I'm going to talk about is kind of linked with superstitions, like bad omens and things like that. When people say, like, Friday 13th, black cats, opening the umbrella inside, things of that nature. Do you think, like, all of that is connected? Like, or do you just think it happens by chance?
I don't think anything happens by chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, it's also psychological. If you assign, you know, for example, Friday the 13th as a bad luck day or something that happens bad or etc.
You're going to internalize that.
You're going to internalize that, number one. And number two, everything that you see on that day will somehow be bad.
So
let me give you an example, right? If you say today, I'm gonna make sure to look for a certain type of car that's maybe orange, a rare color. The reason why it's so rare is because it's not something we pay attention to. But mm-hmm. I guarantee you, if you take a day mm-hmm. to say, "Hey, I'm gonna look for an orange car or a red car today,"
you're gonna find you'll five.
You'll find it. You'll find it. Exactly. You'll find five.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean something happened by chance. It's just now that you're looking for that.
So some things that we attribute to the universe speaking to us is just all in our head.
A lot of
that's so scary.
It is. It all comes down to your thoughts. If you believe you're going to have a good day, the things that you're going to pick up on
are the good things. Yeah.
So that's going to be something so simple as somebody smiling when they see you, or somebody, you know, leaving the door open for you. But it's like, if you say today, oh, I'm going to wake up and interpret everything as bad, it's like...
Then all those things that's happening to you, it's going to be bad. Exactly. I completely get it.
You're going to be walking down the street. Someone might be walking the same way. Now you're going to interpret that as them, you know, trying to get in your way or whatnot.
Yeah.
But that's not what's happening.
Yeah. So, like, if you walk into a day with a good, like, head on your shoulders, you're going to see good things.
You're going to see good things.
But if you walk into a day expecting bad things, it's bad things that you're going to get.
Exactly.
So I'm going to assume that right now, at this point in the conversation, you don't think that the universe necessarily speaks to us in the way that we think it does. God, however, does speak to us, absolutely, but the universe doesn't. Or is God and the universe the same thing?
Well, that's the question. That's the question. It's something that we all are on a journey to find out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Who knows if we're going to ever find out? Or when?
True. But that's what belief is. Mm. It's knowing that you won't have full scientific certainty.
Yeah.
It's something that comes within your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, me personally, I interpret it as God. So.
Now we're going to talk about human interaction. One of them is fortune tellers. Kadim, do you believe these fortune tellers are onto something when they're telling you what's going to happen in your future? Because time is some people argue that time is a social construct, and that's a question that's going to come in the future, because I think time is a social construct. But those who want to argue with me, get in the comments and let's talk about it. But fortune tellers who look into the future and say, oh, this is what's going to happen to you, they read your palm, they look at their, you know, crystal balls, all of this stereotypical things that we see in the movies. Do you think that that's the universe speaking to us through them, or?
Fortune tellers.
Yeah.
This is another, it's obviously connected to what I was saying before.
Mm-hmm.
Right. These fortune tellers, what do? They, as you said, with the palms and throwing dice and all this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, you need to really break it down and actually think, like, you're saying that these people have knowledge of the future.
Mm-hmm.
In our religion, God clearly states that He is the only one that knows things that are going to happen.
Going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Because it hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
And it gets deeper than that in the more spiritual realm. Mm. But I don't think we should go there. Let's just keep it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's more so just understanding that no one has knowledge of the future if it hasn't happened yet.
Mm.
And if they say X, Y, and Z, 9 times out of 10 it's gonna be a lie. But if that one thing that is right, it doesn't mean that now they know, you know, the future. It's happened by, you know what I'm saying? By
not chance, but no, like probability, I guess. Exactly. Yeah.
So I could sit here and look at your palm and say, because this is what they do, right? A lot of it's just facade, lies, money, etc., etc. You're paying these people to do these sort of things.
Yeah.
So now I look at your palm and I say, oh, you know what I'm saying? Let's say you're going to meet someone in a week,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be your love life. Da, 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 da.
Mm.
As I said, the way you look at it now, because of that thing that they've told you,
mm-hmm.
say now you're looking for a person that's going to make you happy, your love life, etc. Mm. And boom, you find it. Doesn't mean that person was right. It's just that now what they've told you is the way you've decided to live your life, and now you found it. Doesn't mean they know the future. They're just telling you things that are going to lead you to that sort of thing.
So we are just internalizing things that we hear and just seeing what we want to see, basically.
You internalize it and then you make it your reality. And now
you assign
that reality to now that thing, which is a fortune teller.
Yeah. So fortune tellers are... Finally. Not finally. I have a lot to say. Yeah. We've got karma. I think... the understanding of karma has been a bit messed up by Westerners, because karma is is an ideology that comes from Asia, and specifically in Hinduism and Buddhism.
Mm.
What do you understand karma to be first, so we can clear up any misconceptions?
Well, I think here, karma, it depends on what you assign to be in control of things that happen in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether it's God or the universe. In this case, let's go with the universe, just for, you know, Because 9 times out of 10, most people are going to believe in the concept of the universe more likely than God. Let's say, right? So I think karma, the way I define it, is the way of the universe kind of making balances between people. So a balance between good and bad. So I feel like the way I see karma, me personally, is that the way I treat people and things that I do in my life will always have consequences. So if it's a thing where I'm treating someone bad or I'm doing something that's wrong to a person, I'm wronging them in a certain way, I think the universe, or in my case God, will then kind of balance it out and maybe send some bad up in my way as well. So I've done bad to somebody else, bad may come to me. You know what I'm saying? You're attracting bad energy to yourself when you're doing bad things.
So basically, what goes around comes around.
Exactly.
That's what someone said to me.
And that's the same thing. That's the same thing with acts of good, right? You're doing lots of acts of good to people. Think about that one person in your life that you've seen. They bring a lot of good energy. They do a lot of good things. You see that they kind of live a very good life in a certain way. Like, they don't really attract any bad energy. You don't really hear them, you know, something happened to him in a bad way, or he did this or they did that. It's just because of the way that he's taken his life. Like, he's doing acts of good, attracting good energy, being around good people. So in terms of karma, I feel like you should be very, very careful with things that you do and say, because the way you treat somebody or things that you do, it can also come back on you. You know what I'm saying?
You've said a lot. Like, in my head, there's a lot that I want to touch on. So the first thing is, so you believe that karma's real. So what goes around is actually going to come around. If you put good energy into the universe is going to give you good energy back, and the same with bad energy. Do you think that the universe is just composed of just good and bad energy? Or is there something in between? Is there something more, less, worse, better?
I think the two interact. They coincide in a way. I think sometimes we can see a good thing as bad, and sometimes we can see a good thing,
a bad thing as good.
Yeah, a bad thing as good. So it's more so the way you interpret it. I think those two, they really like kind of mix together in a certain way. But it just depends on the way you interpret things. So,
That's just reminding me of something else that I did in Chinese philosophy, but that's a conversation for another day. Apparently, the wrong idea is that it is good or bad luck as a result of someone's action. So, in fact, you're more on the right lines than other people, because people think it's a matter of luck, which is,
It's mostly to do, like, I was very specific with my language. I don't know if I said it, but...
No, you didn't. I don't think you did anyway.
It's about consequences, not about luck. It's
wow.
About
consequences. Guys, did you hear that? It's about consequences.
Consequences, right? So, obviously, in our religion, I'll always go back to my religion.
As you should.
Throughout this whole podcast, right? God, he tells us that the good actions that we do, some of it may be rewarded in this life, some may be rewarded in the afterlife, right? Same thing with bad actions. Bad actions, they might be punished
in this life,
or punished as a reminder, or punished in the afterlife. So I know that if I do a good deed now, right, I might be rewarded for that in some sort of way in this life or the afterlife. Same thing with a bad action. I know that if I go down a bad route and constantly treating people bad and saying this and saying that, I know that in my heart that I will somehow face the consequences for this. And if I live my whole life without, you know, some sort of thing knocking me back onto the right path, I know I'm in trouble. Because I ain't faced the consequences in this life. And you just kind of got to think about it in our kind of lives as well. Like, if you know that oncoming punishment is coming and you don't face it here and right now in some sort of way, then if you believe in the afterlife, then it's definitely something you should definitely be, like, concerned about. But just to summarise, it's about the consequences of an action, not about the luck. So
Karma itself is a very interesting concept that people like to throw the word around as if it's a game. Like, you know the phrase that people like to say, karma is a B word. Insert B word here. But it's like having that mentality that someone's going to get whatever's coming to them isn't that, like, bad of me.
It's a good concept. It's definitely a good concept. And if everybody's able to internalize it and God's able to a good thing is able to come out of it in the world, then
mm-hmm.
it's not necessarily a bad thing. But it's just that we need to be very specific and very technical with the way that we define it. Let's not attribute it to luck,
but rather
a logical kind of steps of
sequence action, of consequences. Yeah, causes and effects, basically. I have a theory that there exists a universal metronome.
What is that?
You know the thing in music that goes dun 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 dun, like I have to play it now. You think that ticks to keep the beat for musicians to play in 4/4 or 2/4.
Okay.
Do you know exactly? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not exactly.
No,
I have to know exactly what it is.
Yeah, you need to understand it. So sorry, thank you. I need to look up metronome. Do you play any instruments, Kadim?
I used to play the guitar back in the day, but
you used to.
Yeah.
That's such a cool instrument. Thank metronome. Bear with.
Nice.
This is a picture of it, like the old ones. But let me play you like what it sounds like.
Mm. Yeah.
That's literally it.
Okay, fair enough.
For the mic. Thank you. They basically have that when they're playing so that they can stay in beat.
In beat.
And I think there's a universal one, like just one metronome continuously. Hear me out. You know how, like when you're in the classroom and everyone's talking and it suddenly goes quiet?
Yeah.
That's because the universal metronome has done something. I don't know what it is, but you know how everyone at the same time, they just go quiet. Like even if you're in a meeting and everyone's talking at the same time and everyone just chooses a specific time to go quiet.
Mm.
Do you hear it? That's one example.
Use another example.
If you're with your friend.
Yeah.
And both of you are quiet.
Yeah.
Both of you just start talking at the same time.
Yeah.
That's another example. And also, if I'm singing a song and you heard me singing a song.
Yeah.
But then after like 5 minutes, we both start singing a song at the same time.
Yeah. Now why is that important? And why is that of relevance?
To this
podcast.
I think it's part of the universality of this conversation, in a sense that in the world, there's a universal metronome keeping us in time. That's what's connecting us to other people.
Mm.
Does that make any sense whatsoever?
So let's use it in the context of God. Okay. How would you now define that?
Define what? Yeah. My universal metronome?
Yeah.
What if I don't want to use it in the context of God?
Oh, okay, fair enough. But let's try to do that.
Okay, so God established a universal metronome for all humans.
Let's use a synonym for that. So God establishes
a universal beat.
Or kind of rhythm or ways things.
A universal rhythm, a universal wave.
Wave, okay.
For all humans to remain in cohesion.
Yeah.
To be in synchronization, if that makes sense.
Okay, fair enough. So what would be the question from that to me?
It's not really a question. I just want to use this. Yeah, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on it. Yeah, apparently Elizabeth has something to say. What's the question?
If you believe that there's a universal metronome, that kind of keeps us all in synchronization, as you said,
yeah,
or something like that. Do you think that kind of that comes in conflict with our free will? Like if there's a transcendent thing exists that keeps us all in like line, I guess.
Yeah.
Our free will is now at stake.
No, because I don't think it has anything to do with free will.
Okay.
It just has something to do with the movement of humans, like the movement and our interaction. It just keeps it in form.
So kind of you're basically, this is how I interpret what you're saying. So
yeah.
There is some sort of universe or some sort of being that ensures there's a set way or kind of way to life that is manifested.
Not necessarily, no. This is a really trivial point.
Yeah.
It's nothing crazy. It's just that as we're here, just me and you, in time, like across time and space, there's just the metronome. that's just allowing us to, I don't know, feel balanced. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, we're just at ease, grounded, yeah. And just a straight line. It allows us to be that. Do you think I'm just talking rubbish now?
I'm trying to keep it as defined, as logical as possible.
Why can't we just not be logical?
That's a big question. But I think me personally, the way I take things, it should always
be a rational approach. Okay, let's be rational about it.
So let's break it down now again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's break it down again.
Mm.
So what is the purpose of the question? Like, to get my thoughts on it. On what it is.
Okay, the purpose of what I've just said is to see like what you think and whether you agree with what I'm saying.
Okay. So what and now what you're saying is there's some sort of universal rhythm or way things go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's important because number three, it keeps us grounded and connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, why is that important? That's what we need to...
Okay, I think what it is that in my head, I have to have an explanation for everything.
Yeah.
And what I want to know is why we all go quiet at the same time, why we start speaking at the same time, and why we start singing at the same time. And I feel like, as you said, nothing happens by chance. I don't think it's by chance. I think it's because something is happening that we can feel.
So what do you feel, or what kind of feelings do you get, or what sort of things does it make you think about when those things happen? So when everyone's quiet, or when, let's take it with the example of you and your friend singing a song at the same time, right?
Just out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So your kind of thing is to understand why does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, you see it as something that's more than something that happened by chance, more so something that
I think, because like I don't think it was caused necessarily. I think there's a reason for it, like
So me personally,
how do I wordify this?
Yeah, I know it's definitely,
do you understand at all, like
no I understand
what's going on in my head.
We're trying to exactly get that into words, because it makes sense to both of us in our heads, but now it's the challenge of making it something that's, you know, in terms of words.
Okay, cool.
All right, cool. So I think, let's just use an example to break it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
You and your friend start singing the song at the same time, or you say the same word at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just to do with connection and chemistry.
But that connection and chemistry, where does that come from? Something within the universe.
Yeah.
Because I think everything has a substance. Mm. So the substance of this connection is not just arbitrary, it's not just...
Yeah.
Random.
Yeah, see, we've been knocked into the right path now, because now we can go from there.
Right.
So, let's break it down. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I think God, He's created all of us for a reason, and He's given us family, friends, teachers, a community,
mm-hmm.
a wife, a husband, children, etc.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be some sort of way that cohesion is kept between these sort of people. Mm-hmm. So, you question things such as being able to sing at the same time with your friend, or just general connection and love between you.
Mm-hmm.
God plays a part in that, because if He talks about values such as maintaining a family,
mm.
being a good man, providing for your wife or this and that, there has to be some sort of cohesion. So those sort of things that, you know, portray connection, such as singing
mm.
at the same time as your friend, maybe that's God just trying to bring two people together.
Cool. Try and think from the point of view of like a humanist. Or I don't want to say atheist, but like someone who doesn't believe everything is as a result of God. Because there are people out here who don't believe in God.
That's
However, they do believe in human interactions and they do believe in connections with other people. So why do you think that they believe in that? Is it because of my universal metronome? Or is it because of something else?
So, okay, so you're asking me to answer that question, but in the point of view of a person who doesn't believe in God.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because I just find it interesting that, because I'm religious as well,
yeah.
I find it interesting that we can answer a lot of questions
from our point of view.
Yeah, well, with religion and with God. However, I'm not saying that we're right and they're wrong, or they're wrong or they're right and we're wrong.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that there's a lot of things that we agree with atheists about.
Yeah.
Like what is good and what is bad, for example.
Morality.
We agree with them on the basis of morality.
Yeah.
But it's like, what is giving them a reason to believe that? Because our reason is God.
Yeah.
So what's theirs?
Well, it can't... This is the thing about people that obviously aren't religious, they outsource like their values and their beliefs and the way you interpret their world, through what is out there.
Right? Yeah, what they can see.
So, as in...
That's empiricism.
Exactly. So, when they grow up, the sort of values that are instilled to them through their parents, what they see maybe on the media, what they read about, things that are taught to them in the classroom, they use like a collection of these sort of things to now, you know, have some sort of rationale to things that they think about. So everyone that has an answer to something has outsourced that from some sort of value or something they've learned from, right? For us, you know, we believe in a supreme being that sent down a book, maybe whether it be the Torah, the Bible, the Quran, and this is where we source our answers to most things. This is why in a lot of non-religious countries, right, there's a word for it.
Secular
countries.
Right, that's right.
In a lot of secular countries, why do they push so much things such as values and family and the media?
The British values. The
British values, exactly. This is the way they kind of interpret the world. So that's exactly why they would have a different interpretation of life to us. And now we can't say, hey, we're right. They can't say, hey, we're right. It's just that we all have different ways of interpreting things.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if you know, but what you're talking about right now is metaethics.
that one,
it was much, but basically much. There's ethics, like ethics, normative ethics, which is a list of things, rules that we need to follow in order to be a good person, or things that we should try not to do so we don't become a bad person. But metaethics basically asks, what is it to be a good person? Like, how did we come up with all these laws in the first place? Like, does morality even exist, for example? But yeah, I just find that really interesting, because how do we, who are so different people on many different bases, even come to conclude and have like the same conclusion about things from different sources though? It's like, how do you know who's right and who's wrong, basically? But
I think maybe to answer the question,
which question?
How would they interpret things such as singing at the same time?
Oh, yeah. I forgot that's where you came from.
Yeah, no worries. I just think it'd definitely be more rational, you know. Oh, okay, wow. Let's just kind of say what they would say. They would be like, oh, okay. We sang at the same time. Happened probably by chance. We sang at the same time. We know the song. It maybe got a bit quiet. We saw each other and boom. We sang it at the same time, but that it stops there. It doesn't.
There's nothing more.
External meaning or greater meaning to it. They just take it how it is.
Yeah, I feel like I'm still at a full stop or question mark with my universal metronome, though.
Yeah.
I feel like it sounds cool.
It's something that you're definitely gonna have to.
Yeah, I need to
read
up
on and really like be able to define and understand.
I don't think any philosophers have spoken or written about it. Because I tried to find something. I even typed in universal metronome into the internet. We're almost at the end and it's like, damn, we've actually spoken about so much. But you know how people, you know, do you know what the angel numbers are?
No, explain.
Like 444, 222, 1111.
So a set of numbers.
That are like, that look cool, basically.
Okay.
Like 777 as well. People believe like when they see these different numbers, they mean like different types of like good luck is coming or things of that nature. So I don't know. Do you believe that the numbers themselves are special, or that like the fact that you're seeing them so many times? Because in my head, basically what I want to say is that sometimes we see the same numbers all the time. We hear the same phrases all the time. And it's like, is that a sign? Is that a signal? Like, what's the universe / God trying to say to us?
Okay. Yeah. It definitely tracks back to my previous answers. So in terms of numbers, right? A set of numbers. Why is that important? Why is it important having a set of numbers to some people? It's that they can assign those numbers to certain good things or bad things that happen in their life. So let's take 666 for example. Wait, is that I don't know if it's is that a bad example? Okay.
It's a bad example.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
For some people, 666 can be associated to certain forces in the world.
So, some people call it the devil's number. Hey. It is so well. Please continue.
So we'll go with 222, right?
Yeah.
So the number 222, it doesn't mean anything to a person who doesn't know anything about angels, right?
Wow.
Angel numbers.
Yeah.
But because because of what you've assigned to it and the points that you've given it, now it becomes something that's relevant to your life.
So everything's psychological.
It's all psychological.
That's so scary.
This is why the world, while we have religion, right?
Yeah.
And it's something that requires belief and not logic in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we can also take a rational approach and a logical approach to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Like angel numbers.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just a matter of knowing that there's times and places for logic and times not. Because if there is something that doesn't make sense to me or us as humans,
mm-hmm.
let's just understand that we are not in a position to kind of say, hey, because we don't know. We can only say that if we're all knowing, but we're not all knowing. We're not God, are we?
Nope.
So, yeah, that's my point. But in terms of angel numbers, right, it's all psychological, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who's lived their whole life not knowing about angel numbers, 222 does not mean niche to them, right? They live their lives. Maybe they live a happy life. Maybe they live a good life, etc., etc. But you as a person, now you look at this number and you say, hey, all right, cool, this number means something.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to look for this number in things that I do. So let's say my friend has a phone number, a random phone number generated, and it has 222
in it.
Now he's a good person.
Does that show that the things that we see around us, like 222, just means nothing? Or does it just mean what we want it to mean?
I think it means what you want it to mean.
I don't like that.
I mean, I think...
I agree, but I don't like it. It's scary, like... Everything that we think, because I just feel like as the person that I am, I want things to show me that the way I'm living is right, but I'm showing me that the way I'm living is whatever it is.
I think
because of what I believe and what I want to see.
I think let's be honest and kind of break it down, right? We want understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if something as simple as a number or a series of letters is able to allow us to make sense of things that happen in our lives, even though it may not follow, you know, religious principles or logical process, right?
Yeah.
That simple thing, right? As humans, we can take it and make sense of our lives just because it's the easiest option. It doesn't require us to think, to read, etc., etc. It's just that, oh, 222, right? Okay, this person's good. And now again, going back to what we were talking about before, say your friend has a phone number ending with 222, right? And then now you're assigning that to goodness and etc., etc. The reason why that person might turn out as good for you in your life is because how you see them,
you wanted them to.
Yeah, exactly. You're seeing them how you want them to.
Yeah.
So, you know, that doesn't
solve the problem.
How so?
Which is that if everything turns out the way it is because I believe it to be that way, then what is real? What is true?
Say that again.
If everything just turns out how I want it to, simply because I'm internalizing what I want the situation to be, what is the actual situation? Like, what's the reality?
No, maybe the situation is just what you saw.
Exactly.
Just like, literally just think about that. Maybe the situation is just because of what you saw.
What do you mean?
So, the way that your life went, right, there's certain pinpoints that you can, you know, certain major events that happened that defined your life.
Yeah.
So, that might be good or that might be bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole set of different things that happened in your life too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're looking at the good, but there's also bad things that happened as well. But you chose not to look at that. You chose to interpret it in a way that was good, right? Mm-hmm. So, something bad happened to you, but you interpret it as good.
Yeah.
Another person that comes in and lives the same life as you, right? Because of your mentality and the way you looked at things, they can have a different view and interpretation of their lives because they chose to look at the bad, but you chose to look at the good. It doesn't mean that you lived a good life. It means that you saw the good in things that were, you know what I'm saying?
Which is what's scaring me because as much as you're saying, it doesn't mean I lived a good life. That's what I'm saying. In my head, I think I lived a good life, but the reality is I lived a bad one. but I'm here believing that I lived a good one. Isn't that just scary? Because everything is just psychological.
So it's what you're saying is that there's not good things nor bad things. There's just things. Yeah. And we are what makes them good or bad.
That's what I
think. Wow!
someone wrote that down.
Eben and Pat just said there's no good things or bad things. There are just things. The things you can't touch. Thank you.
Yeah.
Did you grab it? Kadim, did you grab it?
I grabbed it.
Thank you.
She said something as well towards the end. You said, okay, wait, say it again.
There's no good things and there's no bad things. They're just things.
And then you said something after that. You were like, it's just how you take it or something like that.
Yeah, oh.
The thing that makes it good or bad is how we are what gives it forgiveness.
That was it. That's exactly it. That is exactly it.
Me and Evan are so much on the same wavelength right now. Because I'm going to say, I feel like as human beings, we just have a desire to categorize everything.
Mm-hmm.
So in your head, you want to categorize it as good or bad. But I feel like in terms of feedback into what Kadim was saying, yeah, I feel like God is the only person that has like the objective perspective. As human beings, like from your perspective, you see, you don't have like bird's eye view. You only have your own perspective. Do you know what I mean?
So I don't like that. Guys. You know, this is actually a philosophical debate. Does God say what is good?
What
is that? Wait, can I? No, because that was rude. I would like to land. Does God say things are good because they are good? Or? Or? Wait. It's coming. No, does God say. No, I don't need you. Does God say things are good because they are good? Or are things good? Evan, can you help?
Things are good because the things are good, or yeah. Things good because God says they're good.
Thank you. That's a question for another day, however.
Let's go. It's a question for another day.
It's a question for another day. Because your question is absolutely about the universe, so don't be so overzealous, Kadim. Thank you.
Fair enough.
Where were we before we absolutely went so far away?
Yeah.
Evan said something and she landed and you loved it. She said, good things and bad things, we just assign them to each other. But that's to this day, still, guys, I'm scared. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that things are just there. And our brain is what makes us, like, our whole life is just our psychological experience. Yeah. I want to experience my life, like, for what it is, not for what I think it is.
But, you know, things such as therapy, and if you study psychology, you know a lot of things are based around kind of positive affirmations, positive mm-hmm. outlooks, positive views about yourself, just positivity in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they do that is because through that sort of mindset, anything that happens in your life, right, you can take it and weather the storm and have a good outcome. Because if it's not negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have psychological effects, mental effects, physical effects, etc.
Even if it's positive, it will have the same psychological effects there. So yeah. I don't think I'm ever, like, imagine a line. Oh, gosh, there's much happening here. Imagine a line. And this line is the reality of my life.
Yeah.
I can either think about everything in a bad way or think about everything in a good way, but I'm never going to be on that line. I'm either going to be on either side. I'm going to be living a life that's not real. I'm going to be living a life in my head.
But why is that a bad thing, though?
Because I want the real life.
But, you know, in our religion, there's a saying that, there's a prayer that, our messenger, we believe that, was the Prophet Muhammad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Prophet Muhammad had companions, he had, you know, people that are around him,
mm-hmm.
and there also came scholars, they came people that, you know, studied the religion, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
So, during the time of the Prophet, right, obviously they were going through a lot of hardship, and one prayer they always used to make, or one affirmation they used to make as a group, was that, oh God, there's no life except for the life of the hereafter. It just depends on
what is the hereafter.
It just depends on how you take it.
And this life is like, it's fickle and it's fleeting.
Mm.
So life has significance once you die.
I don't want to exist anymore. Because what's the point? it's just much for no reason. Like, we've concluded. Kadim, I don't want you on my podcast again.
Right.
You've made me conclude that the life I'm living is nothing. It's not real. That's I'm living psychologically.
Okay, maybe I should talk about my life then. So I guess if we're trying to conceptualize this sort of thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it would be best for me to kind of talk through my life. Obviously, my name's Kadeem, right?
Wow.
I grew up in Newham, East London.
Ew. I have something against people from East London, and I'm going to continue to have it.
So obviously, like, if you know about Newham, you know it's a very, you know, impoverished area.
Yeah, I saw it firsthand.
Impoverished area, you know, and I think when people are deprived of financial freedom, they can obviously turn to certain things, right?
Nasty, brutish, and short.
Yeah.
Hobbs.
It just wasn't a very nice place.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously growing up as well, like most people that are obviously very grounded, is that I didn't really have the financial means to kind of live the life that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the emotional support that I wanted to.
Mm.
I didn't have the right friends around me. I didn't have the right, you know, education. I didn't have the right mentors. I didn't have the right things around me that I was reading, that I was listening to, that I was, et cetera, et cetera. So I didn't have any of that. So obviously growing up, right, you know, made a lot of friends, right?
Mm.
Some of those friends, maybe they're not here today. Some of those friends, you know, they're behind bars. Some of those friends don't know what they're on. Some of those friends, drugs, it goes on and on and on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now a lot of negative quote-unquote things happen to me in my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to weather the storm, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those things obviously happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can say, hey, like, I lived a horrible life. Mm-hmm. But it's about seeing the beauty behind, you know, the dirt. I mean, like, you look at a diamond, right?
Yeah.
So beautiful. You see it on jewelry, etc., etc.
Yeah,
but if you look at a diamond before it goes through all those processes, yeah, it's covered with dirt, mud, etc.
Mm.
But and also diamonds are created through pressure, right? A lot of pressure is what creates a diamond.
Wow, Kadeem,
so it's such a beautiful thing, but look at the process it goes through to create something beautiful.
Yeah.
So in terms of my life, right, a lot of pressure, a lot of, you know, negative things happening, losing friends. The whole lot, right?
Mm.
But it's like, let's go number one by one. So financially, obviously.
Yeah, it was a long day.
It was a long day.
Yeah.
Very long day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But the positive that's come out of it is that I now, if I do things to create something and make something of myself in the future,
mm-hmm.
I now have an understanding of what it's like to be in that position, number one.
Mm-hmm.
So now, with that understanding, it may be that maybe one day I open a foundation for orphans back in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one day it might be, you know, given to charity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that obviously I do now, but in a more bigger scale, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It might be me going back to, you know, these sort of areas to create certain projects or access to certain things such as books or just general things such as that. Mm-hmm. Or being on this podcast itself, giving back to people, right?
Yeah.
So me going through what I went through,
yeah,
this one thing that I was able to kind of grasp or understanding of can now create, like, it's not even conceivable how much good that can happen from this thing, from me. I'm one person, I went through suffering, right?
Yeah.
But I can now make an impact on thousands, millions, trillions, we only have billions, right? Yeah, like billions of people,
yeah,
right? But the thing is, it's just about how you think of it. Because me personally, I have a goal of, you know, improving and benefiting lives of billions, right?
Yeah.
Got to think big.
That's beautiful.
But, you know, that little bit of suffering that I had, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can now alleviate the suffering of countless many people.
Yeah.
And now those little things that I do for them in their lives,
mm-hmm.
look how much it will change for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I went through that suffering.
Just so that, yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Number two, just kind of losing friends as well,
mm-hmm.
right? It was a bad thing, obviously.
In the moment, it was a bad thing.
In the moment, it was a bad thing. But it's like, now I understand the value of life.
Wow, that's beautiful, Kadeem.
Yeah. Now I understand the value of life. Yeah. I know that I cannot mess up and lose this, right?
Yeah.
It means that now, when I have a negative interaction or an argument with someone, that's as far it go as it goes, because I value my life.
Yeah.
Now, through seeing these things and learning from it, there's certain places I want to go to because I value my life.
Yeah.
Right? And being able to wake up every day, right, and create and learn and just grow and connect with others, I appreciate that so much more.
Yeah.
But say that didn't happen, I would carry on living my life as I do.
That's ringing a bell. Because I have something called Edenic ethics. I've made my own ethic. Thank you. But what I believe is so, like, you're reminding me of myself in a sense that I believe that I need to experience bad things in order for me to appreciate the good. And I need to go through bad things in order for my life to be balanced. Like, I purposely put myself in situations that I don't enjoy. I purposely put myself in situations that I find uncomfortable or that I'm not going to particularly like, simply so that I can appreciate the things that I do like even more. Absolutely. So it's like what you're saying, in the beginning it was hard, so that you know what it's like to enjoy something that's good now. Exactly. And it's just, it's a good way to live, you know. It's a nice, it's an enjoyable Definitely. Way to live in the future.
So, and then number three, I spoke about kind of substances and drugs that a lot of people, you know, are hooked onto. Able to see that and see the drastic effects it happens to people. Because they were always like, oh, it's just this time. Or it might be, oh, I know how to control myself.
Yeah, it's just for fun.
Yeah, just for fun. Seeing all that take place and seeing the consequences of it, it's like now I know that going about in my life as I grow and as I get older and get exposed to more of the world, these sort of things I won't even give a second look to, right? In terms of alcohol, drugs, these are things that I will never touch because I've seen the consequences.
Yeah.
If God loves me...
You've learned from other people's mistakes.
Exactly. If God loves me, right, he's not... God doesn't necessarily just throw knowledge into a person's heart or a person's brain, right? The knowledge comes from their experiences. So... if I did not experience seeing the effects of it happen to other people, it's like as I become an adult and I'm exposed to a higher degree of these sort of things, I will always stay away from it because I saw what the little things did to people. So it's molded me into the person who is able to give a person a smile, to treat them good. It's molded me into the future man who will obviously be creating a family, loving people, creating foundations, building charities, orphanages,
things of that nature. As much as I was thinking I want to see a real life, maybe, you know, the line, maybe if I live life on this side or that side, that's just going to become my real life anyway. And I just have to accept it. And I just have to just, you know, do Edenic ethics and just learn from whatever happens to me, whether it's good or bad. There's a balance at the end of the day. Kadim, that conversation was too good. I really appreciate, like, Kadim, you came with a lot of wisdom and knowledge that, you know, maybe you didn't even know you had, but the right questions can lead someone in the right direction. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of The Things You Can't Touch with Kadim. How do you say your surname?
My name's Arabic, so it's Kadim. It's actually pronounced Kadim. But
so I've been saying Kadim.
Yeah.
So much fame.
But in terms of, like, when I'm in England or whatnot, I'd rather just keep it Kadim because it's easier to kind of say it. And plus, Kadim, it isn't wrong, but it's actually said Khan. It's just Arabic.
Right.
It's
Arabic. I do apologize for the mispronunciation of your name in Arabic. How do you say your surname?
Tiam.
Tiam. I was going to say Thiam with
but,
so much
But in Wolof, because I'm from Senegal, right, it's pronounced Chan.
Right. Guys, did you hear that? Get your linguistics in with Kadim. In other words, Khadim.
Khadim.
I ate that up, guys. Evidently, obviously, what you're going to do is you're going to absolutely go and insert yourself on his Instagram page. If you're scouting models and things of that nature, Khadim would like to walk for you in France. He'll walk for you in Belgium. He'll walk for you and he will talk. Khadim has all of the attributes and things of that nature. Thank you so much for coming on. Genuinely,
no worries,
appreciate it.
I enjoyed it.
Guys, if you want to come on the podcast, just send a DM to our Instagram, our TikTok, or whatever. Just let me know if you want to come on and we can absolutely come and talk about philosophy because it's very interesting. Everyone should talk about it. Thank you. And if you want to leave off with?
Life is just about how you take it.
Wow.
Things that happen to you in your life, it's all about how you take it.
That's beautiful.
Something can happen to somebody, but they take it as good. same way someone can take it as bad.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a choice with whether you pick the good side or the bad side.
So does the universe speak to us? God does.
God does.
I don't know about the universe, though.